Dear visitor, welcome to the Church of St. Vincent Ferreri, a jewel of Baroque and neoclassical style in the heart of Carini. This guide was created by the Jonathan Livingston Association ODV with the patronage of the Municipality of Carini, thanks to the funds of the National Recovery and Resilience Plan of the Ministry of Culture, included in Mission 1, Digitization, Innovation, Competitiveness, Culture, and Tourism, and Component 3, Tourism and Culture 4.0. We are honored that you have chosen to visit this church. We will accompany you inside and tell you its story. Choose your language and enjoy this exceptional experience. The church was built between 1610 and 1620 at the behest of Vincenzo III La Grua Talamanca. Following the closure of the San Mercurio Monastery, an unhealthy place due to malaria, and was dedicated to St. Vincent Ferreri, a Spanish Dominican friar, symbol of devotion and protection. Its construction was supported by the people through a tax on grain and meat, a testimony to the bond between community and faith. In the 18th century, the building underwent a significant renovation, acquiring the neoclassical appearance visible today. The interior was renovated at the end of the 18th century with rich white and gilded stucco decorations, festoons, putti, and grotesques, created by the decorator Tommaso Firiolo, in line with the neoclassical taste of the period. The facade appears sober and elegant, reflecting the late Sicilian Renaissance style. It features the classic single-cusped hut style, simple yet elegant, with a symmetrical composition. It is characterized in the center by the entrance portal made of worked local sandstone, equipped with simple bases and capitals, and a molded architrave surmounted by a broken tympanum with volutes framed by vertical pilasters, above which, inside a niche, is placed a stone statue of St. Vincent Ferreri. Above the portal opens a rectangular window with a stone frame, which corresponds to the original entrance of the church before the lowering of the road surface. The wooden double-leaf door is historic, probably made of solid wood decorated with panels. Today, it is protected by an added wrought iron gate. Adjacent to the left side of the church is the former Dominican convent, now a school, which integrates with the facade seamlessly. The rest of the facade is plastered and devoid of ornaments, delimited at the corners by barely noticeable corner pilasters that support a linear top cornice. The whole appears sober and proportionate, consistent with the post-Baroque neoclassical aesthetic of the 18th century renovation. During the 19th century, the church underwent a significant structural alteration related to urban road development. During the 1800s, the level of the ground in front was lowered for the creation of the new road, today's Corso Umberto I. This lowering of the road surface meant that the original entrance of the church was raised compared to the new street level. To overcome this difference in height, work was done on the front part of the building. An access hall and vestibule were inserted in front of the nave, created by narrowing the original width of the church, and an internal staircase was built connecting the new floor level at street level with the level of the historic nave. Consequently, the entrance door was adapted, the threshold was lowered, and the portal was partially modified to align with the new street level. Today, one enters the interior by climbing the internal staircase, a solution necessary following the 19th century works. This transformation altered the original proportions of the facade in the lower part, although well integrated. From the outside, the change is barely visible, while inside the difference in level is resolved with the staircase. Such interventions testify to the church's adaptation to the changing urban layout, without distorting its historical identity. But now, dear visitor, I invite you to enter and discover this splendid treasure. The central nave is accessed via a staircase built in the 19th century, after the lowering of the road surface of Corso Umberto I. Climbing the stairs, made of local limestone, one reaches the single nave of the church, and the perspective created by the staircase guides the eye towards the altar, creating a sense of depth. The church has a single hall plan covered by a barrel vault with lunettes. It does not have a pronounced transept, essentially configured as a rectangular nave ending in a quadrangular apse. Looking upward, one admires a splendid matronium closed by a wrought iron grate, with a dense geometric pattern of diamonds and decorated with floral motifs and a dove representing the Holy Spirit placed in the center. The grate that delimits the matronium, once reserved for cloistered nuns, dominates the scene of the counter facade. The walls around the matroneum are enriched with white stucco with golden inserts. One can recognize garlands of flowers and fruit, symbols of spiritual abundance, and grotesques, hybrid figures with stylized vegetation, typical of the late Renaissance. Two Tuscan columns in white marble support the loggia. The smooth surfaces and Doric-style capitals reflect a sober style, typical of the 17th century Sicilian. At the back on the right is the donation wheel, a wheel made of wood, historically used for donations to the nuns. Circular in shape with carved spokes, it was a means of receiving offerings without direct contact, ensuring enclosure. The donation wheel, now inactive, is a rare artifact that tells the story of cloistered life and popular patronage. The matroneum, on the other hand, represents a well-preserved example of how sacred architecture mediated between practical function and symbolic language. Under the matroneum, one notices a large window above the staircase. In reality, it is the first access door to the church before the road surface was lowered. To the left of the staircase is positioned the canvas by Giuseppe Patania from 1835, depicting Mary, Saint John, and Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross. The only surviving painting from the serious thefts the church suffered. The painting presents Christ crucified with his head tilted backward, eyes turned to the sky, and mouth half open as he exhales his last breath. Around the cross are the Madonna, Saint John, and Mary Magdalene, depicted as sorrowful figures participating in the scene. This description highlights the dramatic intensity desired by the author. Patania captures the moment when Christ expires, surrounded by the composed grief of his mother, the faithful apostle, and the penitent disciple. Looking towards the altar, what strikes the eye is the flooring made with inlaid polychrome marbles, known in the Sicilian Baroque field as marmi misti, mixed marbles. This term indicates the use of different types of marble juxtaposed to form a single decorative design. The technique used is traceable to the ancient opus sectile, that is, the art of cutting marble slabs into precise shapes to create continuous ornamental motifs. In the Renaissance and Baroque periods, this technique takes the name of marble commesso and represents one of the most prestigious forms of floor decoration. The commesso technique required specialized craftsmen. The marble slabs had to be reduced to thin sheets, then cut according to well-defined shapes, and finally laid by juxtaposing the pieces to make the joints almost invisible. The visible ornamental motifs, such as stylized floral scrolls, rosettes, and interconnected geometric figures, recall the typical repertoire of mature Baroque, but organized according to axial symmetries and more orderly schemes, characteristic of the nascent neoclassical taste. Beyond the decorative aspects, the floor incorporates iconographic and symbolic motifs linked to the monastic order. The Dominicans have as their emblem the eight-pointed star, which is often reported in the flooring with the black and white colors that represent the order's habit. Near the altar is a large central medallion with a dog holding a torch in its mouth, a symbol derived from a play on words on Dominicanes, dogs of the Lord, referring to the Dominicans as defenders of the faith. The central nave of the church presents itself as a harmonious and refined space, characterized by a rigorously symmetrical decoration, in which white dominates and is embellished by golden reliefs and stucco with floral and geometric motifs. The architectural and decorative elements give the environment a sense of solemnity, emphasizing the verticality of the building. The walls are marked by fluted pilasters with Corinthian capitals, which create an effect of order and visual rhythm. Between the pilasters, panels decorated with refined floral motifs and volutes, typical of the neoclassical style, alternate smooth panels with ornate ones, in a play of solids and voids that avoids Baroque decorative excess. The arches of the side chapels are decorated with floral reliefs in white and gray stucco, which elegantly frame the niches with statues and sacred paintings. This type of decoration, while deriving from the Baroque, shows a neoclassical influence with its search for balance and symmetry. The barrel vault of the church is one of the most spectacular parts of the building and fully reflects the decorative ability of Tommaso Firiolo, a student of the Sarpata School, who here has demonstrated an extraordinary mastery of stucco and decorative composition. The vault is divided into perfectly framed modular panels by thin, golden geometric reliefs, which create an extremely orderly and symmetrical decorative pattern. This subdivision into rectangular and square coffers recalls classical art, with an evident influence of Sicilian neoclassicism of the 18th century. Each panel of the vault contains a finely sculpted floral decoration in stucco with a central rosette motif. Along the edges of the vault are coffered frames, which reinforce the three-dimensional effect and guide the eye along the nave towards the presbytery. Above them on the left side are some windows with grates from which the cloistered nuns attended the functions. On the right side, the same grates frame windows of light. At the intersection of the vault with the apsidal area is an octagonal fresco, depicting a sacred scene that stands out for its delicate tones and perspective rendering, perfectly integrated with the architecture. Dear visitor, I now invite you to go to the first chapel located to the left of the staircase. The first side chapel, entering on the left, is of particular historical artistic interest. It is presumably dedicated to St. Francis of Paola, a 15th century Calabrian hermit highly venerated in southern Italy, and houses his effigy. On the chapel's altar stands a polychrome wooden bust depicting St. Francis of Paola, a work of the Sicilian school dating to the end of the 16th century. The bust, carved in wood and painted, represents the saint with the characteristic dark habit of the Order of Minims and flowing beard, according to iconographic tradition. The gaze is turned upward in ecstasy, and on the face can be read traits of intense expressiveness, a sign of the sculptural skill and devotion with which the work was executed. This sculpture, contemporary with the foundation of the church, constitutes a rare example of late Renaissance devotional art still in situ. Around the altar, the architectural frame of the chapel features pilasters and Ionic capitals supporting an arch, also decorated with stucco in continuity with the rest of the nave. The space between the first and third chapels of the Church of St. Vincent Ferreri in Carini presents itself as an area richly decorated in polychrome and gilded stucco with strong liturgical and symbolic connotations. It is a typical solution of Baroque and neoclassical art, with a scenographic use of space to frame religious symbols. In the center is a large oval coat of arms, surmounted by a decoration with palm leaves and golden volutes. The coat of arms is supported by two angelic figures in stucco, immersed in clouds that accentuate the dynamism of the composition. Inside the coat of arms is depicted the Agnus Dei, a reclining lamb with a halo, holding the cross and symbolizing Christ as the Lamb of God who sacrifices himself for the redemption of the world. This emblem is traditionally associated with the cult of the Eucharist and the Passion of Christ. Under the cartouche, one notices a large wrought iron grate, a typical element of conventual churches that serve to separate the nave accessible to the faithful from the spaces reserved for the cloistered Dominican nuns who could attend the functions without being seen. The third chapel is today dedicated to Our Lady of Lourdes. In this space was once placed one of the stolen canvases attributed to Giuseppe Patania. But now I invite you to set your gaze on the area of the presbytery. The space is sumptuous and perfectly integrated with the central nave. Here, the decoration reaches its climax with a play of columns, niches, and reliefs that frame the high altar. The high altar is dominated by the majestic canvas Madonna in Glory and Saints by Antonio Mano, a student of Vito Donna, dating back to the late 18th century. The Virgin Mary is depicted in an elevated position, enveloped by a golden light that simulates celestial glory. Around her, a choir of saints and angels is arranged in a dynamic Baroque balance, with gestures of adoration and gazes directed to the divine. The lateral saints, recognizable by their iconographic attributes, books, palms of martyrdom, monastic garments, represent figures linked to the Dominican order and local devotion. The chromatic palette is rich in warm tones, ochre, purple-red, gold, typical of the late Sicilian Baroque style, with brushstrokes that enhance the drapery of the garments and spatial depth. The canvas is framed by a structure in white and gilded stucco, decorated with motifs of acanthus leaves and tendrils, symbols of spiritual abundance. The composition consists of two lateral columns attached to the wall in classical style, ending with Corinthian capitals, which support an entablature. On it are placed two angels located at the sides of the frame. The gilding, finished with gold leaf, captures natural light, creating an effect of vibrant sacredness. At the top center is inserted in a garland of clouds from which putti peek out, a golden dove, symbol of the Holy Spirit. The altar, made of polychrome marbles, is surmounted by a triumphal arch in stucco, which frames the scene and visually connects the nave to the choir. At the foot of the altar is positioned the tomb of Sister Caterina Aelius, Sister Rosaria Caterina Aelius, born Caterina Aelius, lived between the 17th and 18th centuries and is closely linked to the history of the Dominican monastery annexed to the Church of St. Vincent Ferreri in Carini. Born in Palermo in 1668 to a noble family, she entered very young among the cloistered nuns in Carini, defying the resistance of her family who would have wanted another destiny for her. In the monastery of Carini, Sister Caterina, who in religion assumed the name of Rosaria Caterina of Jesus, distinguished herself for her extraordinary piety and penance. Sources describe her as a religious woman of exceptional virtue. She flourished in the monastery of St. Vincent and was a rare example for her religious and penitent life. She died with a reputation for sanctity. Her personal sanctity also had concrete effects on the community. Antonino Mongitore, in the Compendium of Life and Virtues of 1718, narrates a significant episode that occurred in Carini. A young woman of the convent, Serafina Onorata, wished to take vows but lacked the necessary dowry. Sister Rosaria Caterina intervened with her prayers and, according to the chronicle, obtained divine help that allowed the young woman to become a nun.